Good morning. Let me call the City of Mesa study session to order. This is Thursday, January 18th, 2007. We have six items. The first one is to review items that will be on our agenda for January 22nd. Pick up those in the packet. I think there was a revised edition that came out too, so hit it. Hopefully nobody has anything on page one. I see they've reformatted it a little bit for us. Page two, we get into liquor license applications. Continued on page three, the bingo application, start contracts. Page four, additional contracts. Scott.
A question on 5C. Part of this is talking about linking into the Williams Gateway airport communications conduit. It's just the fiber optic route that's anticipated to go in there. What's the time frame for getting that particular portion in?
We're expecting to get that construction completed by the end of March.
That soon. So would businesses would be able to hook into that and use that as well?
It's not expected to be available for business use. That's actually for the police department.
When would the business use be able to hook into it? Is that part of the reason we're doing it?
I know.
That's not. So this is just...
It's for strictly police. For our internal use, excuse me.
Even over at Williams Gateway, that was only for the internal use?
I beg your pardon?
Even for Williams Gateway Airport, that was for City of Mesa use only and not?
I think we're referring to the fiber optic loop that goes from Falcon Field down to Gateway, right, and loops in.
Is that what this is?
Councilmember Sembers, that we probably used some language that is not completely clear there with that. The specific funded portion that's on the agenda today is for public safety use of that. As a part of making installations on the Williams Gateway campus, there have been some decisions that we will share conduit space and trade conduit space back and forth so that Williams Gateway gets benefit of being able to install that once this piece of it is completed and allow them the use of that from Williams Gateway as the airport authority, separate from this particular project.
Okay. Yeah, we probably want to do a little update, at least to Councilmember Summers, on that area, because I think it's a 6 or 8 bank conduit thing that we have seen with the manholes, and we just pull it through. And once the system is installed, and we've been doing it as we've been tearing up roads so that we don't have the disruption twice in that area. So I'd like to, and we also had, I know, one study session, kind of an economics of putting that in and what the payback would be. So it might be time to at least brief Councilmember Summers, because I think the rest of us have seen that presentation.
We can certainly
do that.
All right, thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you. All right, that's page four. Page five.
I have one and five.
All right, I have 5E and 5F that I have been told I have a potential conflict on. So I'll turn those over to Councilmember Whalen. Which one did you have, Scott?
G.
All right, I can still handle that one. Go ahead.
It was a question on the lead-based paint over at Escobedo. I was curious as how many children are at Escobedo. Do we know, particularly those between the ages of 9 months and 5 years? For those who don't know what this is, it's an abatement of lead-based paint caused developmental problems in children.
Mayor, Councilmember Summers, I don't have that exact number, but I can get that to you very quickly.
Have they been tested? The children been tested?
No, they have not been tested.
Have we addressed possibly having to test them?
Councilmember Summers, there would really not be any reasonable justification to test the children. That would be a very invasive kind of a procedure, and that's typically not what we would do. The idea here is to just really prevent the exposure in the first place. The HUD regulations don't anticipate that kind of testing unless you had a situation. It would be more of an indoor situation where it was a long-term known exposure and you felt there was some clinical action that would need to be taken to reduce the lead levels. We really don't think we're in that kind of a situation here.
I was looking at the state lead abatement plan It's federally mandated. It seemed to identify, generally speaking, that this area was under some scrutiny by the state, but it didn't seem to have a testing program. Is that correct? Are we aware that that particular zip code is being tested for lead?
I'm not aware that that particular zip code is included in that program. We can certainly check on that and confirm that, but I'm not aware that they are.
I'd like to check with the Office of Environmental Health, since my thought here is that we could be liable at some point, or at least there's a moral issue dealing with making sure that the children don't test for abnormally high levels of lead. Since we're doing an abatement program, it might be worth it to do a voluntary testing program over there if we can find some funding for it, just to make sure that we have that baseline to show that they don't have high levels, given what's going on.
I can certainly check with the toxicologist at the Department of Department Health Services to see if that kind of a protocol would be recommended by the state.
All right, let's at least look into it.
Okay.
See. Thanks.
I have another question on that item. I know we had some discussions about the dollar magnitude of doing that and what the long-term prospect for that area is, whether we're going to redevelop it in new housing. But I have forgotten what the outcome was, whether that was coming back, whether we're still researching that.
We are putting together a presentation for the GDC on a proposal. We will also be taking that same information to the Housing Advisory Board at their meeting, I think it's February 4th, and we're going to be discussing some option with that property.
Okay, so after that, then we can read their minutes, or it'll come up forward to council?
And it'll come back to council.
Okay, I think we concluded at the other discussion that either way, the time frame is such that we're going to want to do this because there'll be some transition period, if I remember the outcome.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Councilmember Griswold.
If I remember correctly, this was temporary housing built in 1941 for Flyers at Falcon Field, and we're still using it for low-income housing. This seems to me that we ought to be selling this, having someone else tear it down and do something new on it. This sort of accelerates the process in my mind that we need to do something. And this is not good housing. It doesn't have air conditioning in it. It has swamp coolers only, as I understand. And
There are window units of air conditioning, which tenants can get for their properties, and they charge $15 a month for that unit. So there are.
But I think it's probably a better way for us to do housing or mm-hmm. Section 8 and let the federal government handle it and us be out of the housing business. So.
Tom, then Mike.
I just want to confirm that the reason I think this was pulled before was the uncertainty as to what impact the CDBG funds or the use of CDBG funds would have. I'm assuming we decided either we weren't sure or we were sure, and it was better and just safer to use general fund dollars with a potential for reimbursement at the end.
Correct, Councilman. That's perfect. Exactly.
Good. Thanks, Mike.
It's my understanding that the West Mesa redevelopment area is looking at a proposal for this property, along with Mesa Can was a partner at one time, now maybe Prehab. Is that possible?
That is possible. We have been approached by several nonprofit agencies and private for-profit developers that are interested in looking at redevelopment of the site. At this point, we haven't proceeded with any further discussions with those, just that we do know there is an interest out there in the community to do that.
If we're going to bring those forward, it might be the time to talk to those.
Right, people. Mayor and City Council, I think part of the discussion that we do want to have with the Housing Advisory Board and with the City Council is, what is the policy discussion about the future of this land? It is currently zoned a fairly high-density residential development. And the question remains, is that the ultimate, even if these improvements were to be removed today under the current zoning, they could potentially replace with fairly high-density multifamily dwellings. And so the question, there's a lot of issues beyond just the disposition of the property about the future of what this area or this piece of land, future development, what it would mean. And so I think those are the kind of questions that we need to work with the council on, because simply we could sell the property as is today with the tenants in place, the leases in place, and sell it. The question then becomes, what is a policy decision, is the council comfortable with that and allowing that and that subsequent property owner then to continue with the property as is, or even could redevelop it again under the current zoning at a fairly high density? And so those are some thoughts we want to bring back to the council and have some discussion about that, because there may be some things the council may want us to do prior to actually transferring the property to private property hands, where we would then at some point lose a little bit of the control on what happens on the property. So those are just some future thoughts. Okay.
I assume the selling would take place after they're relocated, or?
Not necessarily, Mayor. It could happen.
You can put a notice saying we're getting out of the housing business. It's up for sale, and proceed in that direction.
You could sell the property with the leases in place.
Good. And what's the duration of the leases? Are they 1 year?
They're 1 year leases.
And we've checked that out, and there are no strings attached because some of it was done with federal money.
As long as there are no federal dollars involved in acquisition of property, demolition of property, or rehabilitation of property, then we can sell it. It is free and clear.
Okay, good. I'd forgotten that information. Anyone else on this? All right, let's try page 6. I also have a potential conflict on 5H. So.
Same with me.
All right, and so does Mike. All right, and then we get into the introduction of ordinances, and February 5th would be the date that we would address those. Scott.
Just some housekeeping on page 6. 6B is actually in District 6, mm-hmm. Not 5.
Okay. All right, that's page 6. Page 7. Page 8. Get into resolutions. On items 7D, 7E, where we are doing the providing support for an application, do we have any internal overhead or anything that we have to cover as far as expenses, and are we going to now do that, or how do these work?
Mayor, these are applications from two local nonprofit organizations that are designated as special type of housing organization. The funding for this is through the Maricopa Home Consortium. If there are home dollars involved, the city does already receive funding for the home program for administration, and that would just be part of our administration of that contract.
Okay, so we're covered as far as if we put in the application and have follow-up work supporting it.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Yes, we are.
All right, thank you. All right, page 8, page 9. Tom.
I believe I have a continuing conflict on 7K. I know it's already off consent, and that's probably why, because you and me, but I just thought I'd announce it now and redo it again later.
All right. I have a question on 7G through 7J, too, as far as the coordination on the applications for the Indian grants. How is that program going?
Yes, Mayor. We've been working off a list of priorities that Council set for us about a year ago, submitting city projects. At the same time, the nonprofits in the community continue to aggressively seek, as you know, resolutions from the Council for support. These four that are on the list here are from nonprofits seeking support only from the council, pastor.
And where are the city's requests?
We're working on a city project for this same Akchin Indian community that will be also submitted this year off your list of priorities. So we're still working on that list. We'll be coming forward to the council in the next month or so, asking you to set priorities for the following year.
Okay, I would think that we would do them concurrently, so that we knew what the dollar magnitude of our projects were that were more city related, bus, whatever type of programs were submitted, instead of separately.
This particular opportunity with the Akchin community only came to us about 2 weeks ago, and so we're hustling trying to get a project together. It does not require a resolution by council. It only requires signature from the city.
So, Mayor, what we're doing is, I think, what we have the list from council that you've already approved, and we're just been taking that list, because you've already approved it, and submitting those, so they wouldn't necessarily need to be on a council agenda. Is that
what
we're saying? So you won't see necessarily, like you see here, where they're on the council, where they need a resolution by the council to support it, because we already have the city council's endorsement of the projects that we're submitting to for the same to the same Indian community, if that makes sense.
Okay, I just when it says approving and supporting it, it would lead me to believe that we've scrutinized these, we've looked at all possibilities, and these are the top contenders. It's just anybody that sent us one, we basically forwarded on and said, yeah, we'll support it. Are there, how many of them do we have that we have rejected? Our staff has said they don't comply, let's not send them forward. Any?
We have not. As we stated a year ago, we presented priorities. If a nonprofit came to us in a cycle to compete with a city project that is the same priority, the Ok-Chins have the same priority as the HELAS, public safety, health, education, etc. Our city project will not compete with any of these, so we're comfortable in submitting.
Okay. How many dollars? This is the 12% money?
Correct.
All right. And what's 12% of the Indian gaming revenues?
It's not. It's
a couple
not,
hundred million or?
It's not 12% of the entire amount. It's 12% of a piece of the pie. It's kind of complicated.
All right.
I'll be happy to bring all that forward in our report to you.
I just think it's a little bit like other grants and stuff that we have some discussion about what we're going to do on a federal level, where you have no discussion or very limited discussion on what we're going to do with our Indian communities. And I don't think there's any policy that's been created. Maybe we send it through the Finance Committee or something and have them take a look at it. But every year it kind of comes up and I ask the same questions. Well, who else is going to apply? And is one application, is it the first one in? Is it a 6-1 vote versus a 7-0 vote? How should they weight them? I still don't think we've gotten to the point where I'm comfortable knowing that there's a process that has some type of scrutiny.
Okay. So. Mayor, appreciate that. We could, again, review the one. We've already, the staff brought to the council the city's priority, so we're moving forward with that. I think I understand the concern is that then all those outside the city that come to us, there's really no, I guess, vetting of the application per se. We just, whatever we get is kind of, as long as it's in order and it meets the application criteria, we're kind of just forwarding those through. I guess that would be the question, is whether council wants to create some type of criteria of those that we would be even willing to endorse to move forward, if that's what you're speaking.
Well, either that or we adopt the policy that any nonprofit that sends us an application, we automatically send it forward.
We can put this on the agenda for the Audit and Finance Committee and have that discussion.
In the meanwhile, we expect there may be legislation in the next year to amend 202 to allow nonprofits direct access, which would get us out of this resolution.
And that would be fine, wouldn't it? With me, as long as there's something that's done that.
It is awkward putting our name on it when we're not necessarily significantly involved with the sponsor, the requesting agency, and the not familiar with the programs and things like that. But I guess under the way the law is written today, there has to be a local sponsor. I'm not sure if that's the right word, but
exactly.
So that puts us in that situation.
Right. And if they're looking for a local sponsor, I guess the question is, what type of scrutiny do they expect the local sponsor to have gone through with the applications? Mm-hmm. Any?
None. Zero.
Then why would they even have that stipulation?
Because of the financing, because the money needs to flow through the city.
Okay. All right. Okay. And I see we've got AT still in here for training and the rest. Is AT still a nonprofit?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any other nonprofit colleges that do training?
I don't know.
So Phoenix College and Thunderbird and all those are for profit. So there's, okay. All right. Okay. That's page 9. Any other questions on those items? Page 10. A lot of traffic modifications on page 10, continuing on page 11 and 12. There's some annexations on page 12. Continuing on page 13. Have a legal protest on 8F, so that'll require a three-quarters vote at 3550 block of East McDowell Road. Page 14, I think Tom and I have, 8G again, Tom? Is that?
Yes, 8G, and also it looks like 8.1 B, C, D, and E.
Oh, yes, that's true. All right. Let's note those then as potential conflicts for Councilmember Rawls and myself.
And Mayor, I would might suggest the council on page 14 those items, the 8.1 series. This is, I think, the last time that we had an appeal was 2002. Mm-hmm. So the background information, I think, helps explain the process that it we followed and what the council can consider as part of the appeal. But this is new. Well, it's been a while since the council's had an appeal come forward, so it may be something you might want to make sure we read the back material on this one. If you have any questions, certainly John and the city attorney's office can help the council in understanding that.
On 8.1A, which is the one I can talk about, Falcon Field, there was a request by the design review board to have a schematic with all of the properties laid out as opposed to individual buildings so that they could see how that works. Is that a typical request or is that a requirement, or what type of weight do we give it if that's not presented?
Mayor, Council, that is a typical request in such a big project as this, where there's such a long frontage on a street. We usually do see that. And the applicant this morning has provided that to staff, so we'll have the opportunity to look at that before next Monday's meeting.
Okay, and if there's a non-compliance with that, because it's not required, it doesn't. If in fact you wanted to state that you wanted to see the whole schematic, why don't we require that as part of the submittal process if there's multiple buildings so we can see how they're massed together?
The Mayor, the application does require for the buildings to be shown. In this case, it's maybe kind of something that falls between the cracks. There, he has shown the buildings, just hasn't shown them all how they will line up. It's the same building being repeated. So we've asked for it, so we can see how that will really fit together.
I would assume then they think that the people that are looking at it are talented enough to know what the buildings lined up would look like visually without having a. I just, if I'm an applicant, I'm going to do what it says to do, and then to come in and more be requested, if that's the intent up front, why don't we just request it?
Mayor, if I could jump in, I think we will, because right. As we move along, and if that's going to be an issue visually, then we might as well just ask for it.
Right. Okay. And I appreciate the way those were laid out, the discussion and what you're looking for direction and what the applicant was. I think there was also something about the, at least on that one, about the wall then being removed and going from stucco instead of block. At what process do you change the schematics or the applicant says, well, that's not even going to be considered, now I'm going to go this way. When do you know what's being presented? Yep. And along the steps, because I can see different A, part B, C, finally, well, which did you vote on? And it could be a hodgepodge of different things that come forward.
Mayor, see if I can answer that. It does throw an extra wrinkle into this particular request because it comes as a denial and then you wanted to change it. What exactly are we looking at? Basically, in coming to you at this point, it's a new case, and you, the council, are looking at it as if it were a new case to make a decision on whether to approve it or not. And so since the applicant has changed it with that wall, then that'll be part of your consideration. Do you like that change or do you like it like it was before in your review? If this had just been approved at the DR board and the applicant was now wanting to make that change, staff would look at it initially and see if it's something that we could approve administratively, or if it was not something we could approve, send it back to the DR board. But it is kind of an odd thing, but again, the council can just take that into consideration Monday when you hear the presentations of which way you want to go with that wall.
So we're not restricted by evaluating just what was presented.
No.
we have carte blanche to say we want rose bushes instead of trees, and we want grass instead of rock, and
right. The council is looking at it fresh, and you can put any requirements on it in addition to, or take away anything that's been looked at this point.
Okay. Yes.
I don't know whether we have time or whether it would be good at this time to. I have a hard time looking at black and white sheets sitting here and getting a feel for the project, whether we want any kind of look-see presentation now or not, or we want to wait till Monday. But if we have time, it might be give someone 5 minutes and say, what are you talking about, and what's the project going to look like?
I think it's going to be a lot to do on Monday night, to be honest, to go through those and act as the design review board and that many appeals. I know they spend hours, and we've had zoning, because it's like a fresh case, at least the way it's being presented. I mean, we may have some other suggestions that we really want to change it. We don't want to have any metal buildings. We want to have them all brick or something else, and come through with a whole new rewrite of the Falcon Field design review standards.
Mayor, could go anywhere. We do have our Kim Steadman, our senior planner for the design review board, here this morning, as well as the applicant, so they could give a presentation at this time.
All right.
If you'd like.
How many would like to see a little
I'd
bit
like
of this?
To see it.
Okay. And I think we have at least two conflicts on B, C, D, and E, which is the Riverview project, which Tom and I have conflicts on. So you want to take a little shot at 8.1A at least, and maybe
Sounds
we'll move
good.
On to the others?
Mayor, City Council, I'm Kim Steadman. I work with the Design Review Board. And the applicant is here today and has provided a full elevation of the project along McKellips. As of this morning, that's not fully colored. He has the full black and white elevation and a partially colored elevation that starts showing some of the buildings together to give you an idea of how that will look along McKellips. The applicant has also put together these these packets. For the council, and that includes photos of surrounding buildings along McKellips and I believe along McDowell, showing some of the context, because the board was concerned about buildings that had been recently approved in that area.
Are we looking at this as a Falcon Field project? Are we looking at this as a McKellips Road project?
Both, I believe. The board expressed concern about the importance of an entry statement to Falcon Field, and also the contribution that such a long project, I think 1,300 feet along McKellips Road, the contribution that would make to McKellips Road.
Well, this is just in front of the water tower, right?
Yes.
And then Falcon Drive on the east mm-hmm. side.
It's between Falcon Drive and the fire station.
All right.
And the photos in your packet, you can see these red dots that are on this area map. That's where all those photos are taken, along McKellips and then up here around McDowell and Greenfield. And on the cover of your packet, you can see how one of the main office hangar buildings, this is a building that has a second floor of offices over some hangars, how that would look along McKellips. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, and a little modified here at the corner of those buildings along McKellips. Here you're seeing the embellished side of one of the largest, or the largest hangar that would face McKellips.
Is that the one that had the airplane thing
on it? No, that would be along here, okay. So that as you're coming east on McKellips, you would see that airplane mural. And then these other hangar ends have a design to them, so that as they're seen between the buildings and above the buildings on McKellips, they have some design to them as well.
Okay, and what happened to the very corner? Is that where there's an arch or something that they reference? Is that where that is?
Yeah, right. This is where, and they, The way this works, the applicant goes to a work session with the board. The board asks for revisions, for additional information, and it was at that work session that the board said they were concerned that this building repeated multiple times along McKellips wouldn't be good, that it should build up to something at the corner, and they didn't have information on how that building turned the corner. So for the regular session, the applicant provided full elevations for that corner building, but did not put the whole McKellips group of buildings together. And that's when the board again said they didn't think it was going to work out along McKellips, and that they should see the full group of buildings.
All right.
Scott, question for you on our
packet on page, I guess that's 2.
Which direction am I looking? Is this off?
You're looking north.
So I'm standing on McKellips.
Standing on McKellips, looking north. The arched building is the side of the hangar, and there's a little parking lot in front of that. You can see that in the plan.
That's what I was going to mention.
So beginning at the west, here's the hangar. On the side of that hangar, on the west side of that hangar, you'd have the mural of the airplanes. Then the first hangar office building.
A parking area with a larger hangar behind it.
Then hangar office, and then the one that's modified to turn the corner. And you begin to see the glassy area that's on a diagonal with a metal roof, kind of an arch metal roof over that.
Thank you. After our discussion, you're probably going to prove to all the citizens of Mesa that our architectural abilities are limited, at least mine. Okay. It would be nice if this discussion was limited to a few items on whether they wanted approval or disapproval, because I think if we start getting into what we like for architectural stuff out here, we're going to have 7 different opinions, and I'm not sure we're going to get to a conclusion. I look at this and trying to figure out why that's an arch building and your corner is straight. Why wouldn't you keep an arch theme if you're going to do something like a wing? But I don't know if that's where you want to go with this thing.
I don't know.
You got a parking lot in front of this so you can see it, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that what they wanted to do is they wanted to see if how much you could see from the road down through the T-hangers or whatever, the private airplane stalls, and whether they think they should have something done with those. But if you drive into Falcon Field, you've got a 50 acres of T-hangers that have the same type of system, but yet on this particular one, you want to do something different. So,
Mayor Hawker, the board has heard several cases for hangar buildings at both airports, and they've limited their discussion to the elevations that are presented to the main roads, so that the sides and rear of the hangar buildings hasn't been discussed. But I think what you're referring to is a concern for the front line of buildings, how they look, and then also how the hangar buildings just behind them, those end elevations, would tie in as you see those along McKellips.
And I thought on my reading that they were concerned with not only the end elevations, but what they might see from different angles down along the hangar buildings. Did I misinterpret that?
I don't believe that was a concern.
Okay, good. All right. How do you want to go with this, Council? You want to hear some of the presentation or digest this pamphlet?
Mayor, just quickly, right. Just one suggestion for the Council. Certainly, Council has opportunity to review in detail all that you would like to. you may want to, at least initially, try to understand what was the departing conflict between the applicant and the DRB, and know that, at least my understanding, at least between the applicant and DRB, there had been some working together on a, you know, there had been some improvements or at least some discussions and some movement. Then there got to a point, I guess it got to a point where the applicant said, you know, this doesn't work for us, and DRB essentially said, we're not going to approve it without more changes. And that may be the point where the council may want to look. Now, certainly the council has a prerogative to start all over again, but that may more narrowly focus an opportunity for the council to weigh in on. Just one suggestion.
Okay, and the other thing, I'm also, you know, sensitive about the cost of doing some other add-on or feature, because you know, if it's a wash, it doesn't really cost more to you know, treat four buildings with the same type of paint job as you do, or eliminate something here and put something back there. So, but that's, you know, like I think has been mentioned, we don't get too many of these, and I'm not sure that I know what path to follow to try to get to a solution for this one. Kyle.
At what point, I'm reading through this last night, there was a lot to digest. I'm trying to visualize it as difficult at best. I appreciate seeing this up here, and that's a lot of what DRB was looking for. But what other real specific things are you wanting to address that were the sticking points that we are looking at?
Councilmember Jones, Mayor Hawker, I don't know if I did that in the right order. The board had some very general comments, and then they made some specific recommendations for improvement. Their general comment was that it was an adequate design. If it were hidden within an industrial development or hidden within the airport, these buildings would be sufficient and the board would approve them. But they're concerned with appropriateness to the entry to the airport, and they thought that it needed to be more. And that was an overall just comment level of design quality. Two board members stated they weren't asking for more money to be spent on materials, a more expensive building. They wanted more time spent in design to come up with a better quality design that didn't necessarily mean spending more dollars. Another board member responded to that things would probably cost more if they changed. So there was that back and forth. And just the specific things that they mentioned, when you're looking at these elevations, you can see some little standing seam metal roof pieces in between the blocks of buildings.
Those are the extensions of the rear buildings.
Those are actually curved metal roofs, so there's actually a little more design to that building than you might guess by just looking at the elevation. Those look like little mansard roofs on the elevation. They're not. They're curved roofs. And the board suggested that be developed more into an aeronautical theme. They've seen buildings with a more of a, like an airplane wing theme, bringing that design sensibility into this architecture. That's one of the suggestions.
Okay, and then the issue on the wall was originally going to be a block wall, and they want to switch to a stucco, just a frame stucco.
Can I explain that a little bit?
I personally, for me, going to a stucco wall, the long-term viability of that wall, it deteriorates a lot quicker if it's just a plain stucco. Anyway, go ahead, sorry.
Was that the wall with the crusher screen with the rocks in it?
That was a mural of looks like airplane wings, several airplanes flying toward you.
Oh, that was on the wall?
Yes.
Oh, I thought that was on the in building.
All right. This is the west wall of that westernmost hangar, and that would be the wall that would be facing the fire station, and the fire station is set back quite a ways, so that wall would be very visible. And the board asked the applicant to work on that wall and to provide more interest, suggesting a mural, that sort of a thing. The applicant came back with a mural that would be made with different textures of concrete block. And then since the board saw this case, the applicant came back, found out that he doesn't
that wall, turns out that wall isn't on a property line, it's 2 feet off a property line, therefore he's not required for building safety reasons to have a concrete block wall. He'd rather render it in stucco.
Okay, Tom?
Just one question. You mentioned that some members of the design review board thought that they didn't need to spend any more money, but they needed to spend more time with design. Is that correct?
That's right.
Is it your experience that designers and architects work for free?
No, they were referring, Councilmember Rawls, they were saying that they should spend more money on the design, right, not more money on the building materials.
Right. And then one of them said, if you do change the design, you're probably going to have to spend more money on materials as well.
That's correct.
But just to be really clear and fair, spending more time on design also costs the applicant more money.
Yes, and the board's aware of that.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm familiar with a lot of what's going on at Williams Gateway, and I think Fred Himovich has set a standard, and the board's kind of adopted that one, and it is an aviation-related standard. So when you drive by it or you drive into it, you know that you're at an aviation, and I think it's turned out very, very nicely. And I think that everyone that's bought into that concept, probably one of the more basic buildings is the one that the community college has built up, you know, to try to value engineer in. And I'm not sure that it's going to fit in as nicely as, you know, the Cessna building and some of the other things that we've got coming online. I think that, you know, if you get an aviation theme and everyone does it, that airport will really have an outstanding distinction of being a quality place for people to want to have their planes and to have a corporate office. So I'm in favor of going that direction. I hate to, you know, have to drag anybody down the street to do that. But I'm certainly a little reluctant to get into trying to design this building in an aviation-related theme. So I guess that if we made a suggestion to go back and come up with something that did that, knowing that it is going to cost the applicant more money if we can get the 4 votes or whatever it takes to do that, could we then send it back to design review with that suggestion? And then if they didn't do that, then they reappeal? Is that how that works?
Yes, Mayor, we believe that is one of the options that you have, is to send it back to the design review board with direction to the applicant and the design review board on how they might move forward with this.
So I just, and that's that general type of concept as opposed to specifically saying the wall and this and that.
Let those professionals continue to work out to how to specifically do that.
Okay. All right. Rex.
Just ask questions maybe of the applicant too. Is this building leased? I know there's a major job center, and it's going to be a major bringing new corporate jets, new buildings, new tenants to the airport, and new jobs. Do you have tenants for these, these buildings?
Actually, Rex, we've got the first phase pretty much sold out. We've either got them filled with tenants or actually purchase for the first 20 units and the actual office building. So
are they buying these, leasing them?
It's a combination of both.
Do they have an input into what they want this to look like or not look like?
No, they don't.
They don't really care, or they?
No, they've actually, everybody that we've shown this to has been more than happy with the actual concept of what we're doing and the architecture of it, with the exception of the design review board.
Okay, the wall that's towards the fire station.
The wall that was towards the fire station, actually, on the airport, we have imaginary property lines, not actual property lines. So we have an imaginary 60-foot setback or distance between buildings. We actually did not realize that we had the full 60 feet up until the last go-around at the variance hearing. We, to actually encroach in that 60-foot space, we have to have a firewall. The reason for the masonry wall was because it needed to be a firewall. We've since realized that that's not the case, and we've taken $500,000 out for a 28 by 460-foot masonry wall out, which substantially helps the you know, financial aspect of the property. We did feel that the mural that we presented or provided for the design review board was an advantage, and I actually like the idea. So we maintained that the first 160 feet depth on that west wall will in fact be stucco with the same similar fenestration, rake joints at 4 foot on center rather than 8x8 block, and it will create the same look as what it would have before. We just got rid of the masonry because it was a very, very costly wall. We didn't need the fire separation. Hence, also, it's right against the fire station, so.
My question is the visibility. I'm trying to think there. You're doing 45 plus down that road there. It's perpendicular to you. You only have a moment of visibility. The firemen, I'm sure, are going to enjoy the mural. I like the mural very much. I wished it was in the front, not the side. I was real surprised you did a side wall with a beautiful mural.
Yeah. It actually will be fairly visible, Rex, as you come east. Yeah. The actual fire station has a kind of a corner whacked off the building at that point, and you can see down that fence quite a ways. So, you know, it was an advantage, and I agree. We're happy with that.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? All right. Any questions on the other cases? I have a conflict, so I'd have to turn that over to Mike. That one, I think, had paint and other things involved in it. So, okay.
I think the only question that I have is that we have been through, I think, the major discussion on the auto mall case is corporate colors. We've been through those discussions in the past with other automobile dealerships, and the sign code comes to mind of a defunct donut shop on the east side of town that we had a similar discussion with. Can we legally tell a corporation that they can't use their corporate colors?
We can, Councilmember Whalen, we can require that they comply with our design guidelines, and that is the issue. So, in effect,
it's subjective, though. I mean,
you're not.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, please go.
You are not required to say you have to use these colors, but the under the state statute and as set out in our code, the council has the authority and the design review board has the authority to require that they comply with our guidelines, and that could include color. Now, the council is not bound to require they comply with any certain colors, but it's something that the council has authority to weigh in on, as does the design review board. And so it's really up to the discretion of the council at this point, since that's the issue on appeal.
And then the second portion is, how much of a certain development are we required to ensure matches another portion of the development, i.e., in this case, Riverview East, Riverview West? Are those subjective also, John?
Yes, Mayor, Councilmember Whalen, yes, that's correct. It does become subjective at this point. The overall design guidelines that were established for the Riverview project talks about having a unified center that would appear that way to the general public. How far does it need to go? That does become a subjective decision.
Okay. Those are my only questions.
Okay. Let's move on then, and we'll hear the discussion on Monday. On page 15, subdivisions.
On 10A, the Sanctuary in Sun Valley, because of work I'm doing for parties involved, I declare conflict on that.
Okay. We'll pull that one off. All right. Anything we went over that went over too fast or have questions on? All right. Let's go back then to the study session items. Item number two is discuss and take action on the 2007 major general plan amendment process. I believe this is a continuation of our study session item.
Yes, Mayor and Council, we had this item on your agenda last week. The Council reviewed it. We want to review it first, see what comments you have before action was taken. There were no specific comments that the staff got out of the discussion last week, so we just have it back for your approval this week.
So you take it through P&Z and see what they have, and then I think it has to be a minor plan amendment process.
Yes, Mayor, let me go back through that again quickly, particularly for Councilmember Griswold, who wasn't here last week. We really have two items we talked about last week. One was the minor plan amendment that we will process to change the definition of a major plan amendment, and that does have to go through the P&Z process to do that plan amendment like any other plan amendment would, and then come back to council. We started a discussion with them at their meeting that they have today, and we'll hopefully get their action on it in February and have it back in March before the April deadline for this year's applications. The second item that we had for your discussion last week was the actual process itself that we will use for this year, and that's what we have before you this morning for your actual adoption.
Okay. And I think there was some discussion in 2008, if you extended the time frame, you could actually have a different adoption process.
That's correct, Mayor. We've heard from a couple of sources, of course, being the council. Let's look next year at starting the whole process a little earlier so we can take applications in January and give us more of the year than to really be working on the applications and potentially have them done by September.
Okay. Will both 07 and 08 be discussed at P&Z so that we kind of do a two-year program? This is what we're doing in 07, but in 08 we're going to modify?
Mayor, the program for 08 will actually come back through the process here either late this spring or in the summer and get that approved for 08 so it can be in place to let applicants know they need to be working on them in November, December timeframe of 07 to be ready to submit in 08.
Okay, we'll put it on the calendar sometime so it doesn't slip
right.
And we have the same dilemma.
Right.
All right. Questions on this? Proceed. Direction? Kyle.
Just in reading through like on page 2 when it gives the major amendment definition. Somewhere in that writing, is it going to refer to the map that you talked about before? There was a map you gave us in that discussion earlier,
right,
of specific development areas where that criteria is going to hold us. And I didn't see that right offhand where you have what a major amendment definition is.
Mayor, Councilmember Jones, with the process as it is today, because we haven't officially changed the definition, on page 2 of the, it has what we have today, but as soon as that's changed, then we can change this because that will then be the definition.
Okay.
The other one we talked about was the zero employment switch.
Right, Mayor, we've brought that up with P&Z as we discuss it with them this evening to get their direction. That's one of the items we'll talk about. We want to go down to zero, particularly in the Williams Gateway right. area for change from employment to residential. We'll see how that works out.
That's not in here now. So are we going to talk about going down to zero?
It's going to be sent that way. Right?
Going to be sent that way. Mm-hmm. And then as part of that, we had also talked about residential land use. Item number one under the major general plan says 40 or more contiguous acres for another land use. So switching residential to a business use is 40 acres. And we had talked about upping that to 120.
Correct. Again, Mayor, Councilmember Summers, that's what we'll be discussing as part of the minor plan amendment to change the definition. This, what you have in here today, is what is in effect today because this is what's in the general plan. Once we come through that process and change it, then we'll change this to reflect whatever that
and
change
will be. And we'll also talk about some of the other issues. We can approve it in whole or in part.
Right.
And then exactly what the heck is a substantially different. That's where we got into trouble, I think, the last time, trying to figure out if moving an item was, you know, up one, down one. Something a little more clear than substantially different would be an improvement.
We're looking at that.
Okay. Tom?
I'm a little bit confused about what we're actually going to be taking action on here today. Does it include direction to P&Z or inclusion in the ordinance that the zero change around Williams Gateway?
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, what we're taking action on today is this process, the document that we hand out to any applicant that gives the dates and procedure for this year. Any of the discussions about how to change the amendment, we are informing P&Z as they discuss tonight. Here's some comments the council's made on our initial proposal, and it help us then decide what we're actually going to put in that change.
Council isn't making those proposals or suggestions unanimously to P&Z, for what it's worth.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. So then as Tom clarified right there, what we're doing is the review process, the time frames, is the discussion. The rest will be a minor plan amendment, and we'll vote on it accordingly when it comes back after their discussion. Rex.
Have we sought input in this process and the timeline from the last few people who have gone through a general plan amendment?
Yes.
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, this is really Griswold, excuse me. Anyway. Really, no, at this point, we've been responding to what we've heard from the council, primarily in terms of the need to give the council more opportunity and the Plan Zoning Board more opportunity to be involved in the process early and have a little bit more flexibility as we go through the process. We've tried to work those into it.
Okay, but did we talk to the last couple of people went through and said, is there any changes you would make if you had to on this process time frame, anything else?
No.
It might be something I'd recommend because they've gone through it, paid a lot of money, got beat up in the process. There may be something that they'd say, if you did it a week earlier, it would have been a lot better, or a week later, or whatever it is. I would just recommend that. So I'd feel a little more comfortable if I got a positive answer on that before I voted on Monday.
Okay, we can sure check with them before next month. Well, actually, this was on for action right now, as it was the plan. So we can go ahead and let those folks that may be considering an application for this year know what the program and schedule is for this year.
No, the people that have been through the process, so those are what I'm concerned. They've spent a year of their life, thousands on lawyers, a lot of money, have beat their head against the wall. What would they have done differently if they had any control over the process, other than us saying, here's the process, like it or lump it? So that's just my comment on that.
I've had some discussions with them, and the having the city council be able to enter in and give their opinion earlier so that there can be a revision and still have it be approved is the key one that wasn't available last year. So that's what most of them have been focusing on, but there may be some other tweaks too. Right. Tom?
And that process could always be adjusted again if they find that this new process doesn't work, but I think that the focus of this was to give the council an opportunity earlier to participate, and I think the applicants who went through this year are all in favor of getting our input earlier. So that, I think, should solve the problem. Then if they read it and say, hey, you know, this would have been different, they can always go to John, and if John and staff agree, they can bring it back for an additional modification. Because this doesn't require an ordinance. This is just us giving. So I think
this is a step in the right direction. Right. I just wanted to go with, this is 85% good. How do you get to 95%? If it's 95, how do you get to 98?
Right.
Just a perfection of process.
Okay, so there is an action item. Does anybody want to make a motion to the effect that we will adopt the 2007 Major General Plan Amendment time frame?
Second.
All right, have a motion and second. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Let's go with it. The reports on meetings and our conferences attended. Any updates? Kyle?
Last Friday, the East Valley Chamber of Commerce, breakfast with the governor. Met with a number of folks out there at MCC. Then on Monday, we had the Martin Luther King breakfast and parade. Tuesday evening, Stronger Neighborhoods kickoff meeting for a neighborhood within my district. And yesterday I had my MAG Human Services Coordinating Committee.
Okay. Anyone else? Scott?
Quickly, I met with the some neighborhood leaders over in Casa Mia. Casa Mia is one of these areas that was developed as a residential neighborhood in the county to county standards. Doesn't quite meet the city standards. No sidewalks, street lights, and such. It's an area I'm going to be concentrating on with the Building Stronger Neighborhoods Initiative through neighborhood services. We'll also look at focusing some CDBG monies to put in sidewalks, and talking with ADOT hopefully soon on a piece of land they own that's vacant, maybe selling that or turning portion of that into a neighborhood park. So looking forward to the next year or two and working on those projects.
Okay, I think there's a special improvement district process too that may be appropriate there for that we've done. Anyone else? Okay, the next is scheduling of meetings and general information.
Mayor, thank you. If I could, Keith, come forward. There's a project that's coming to completion that I need Keith to just kind of help me out with to brief the council on. Keith, how long have you been working with the city?
A little less than 23 years.
And that will be coming to an end at the end of this month. So the only way to get Keith to recognize Keith is to kind of like trick him a little bit. So I wanted Keith to come forward to council because Keith, obviously, many of you know more even than I do, has contributed in a tremendous way to the city of Mesa over the years, and his expertise. and working on, I imagine, hundreds, if not thousands, of capital projects and other projects throughout the city. I have been very impressed by Keith's knowledge and keen understanding of a lot of the technical sides, but yet able to articulate very clearly. I know I've seen he has the confidence of council when he comes and tells you about projects and things that are needed to be done. So I just wanted to thank Keith publicly in front of the mayor and the council and the community, and thank him for his service with the city of Mesa, and wanted the council to know that we are going to be losing a great asset in our city staff, but we wish him well, and just wanted to thank him for all his service, and wanted to let the council know that. So thank you very much, Keith, for your service. Appreciate it.
Did you come prepared for a presentation on something?
No, I didn't, Mayor. I just want to say thank you to the council and Mayor and the citizens of Mesa for the opportunity. I've had a lot of good supervisors that have helped throughout the years, and I appreciate that, and want to thank everybody.
All right. Well, thanks for your service.
Thank you.
Thanks, Keith.
I could say something, Keith, but I think you're sick of hearing from me this week.
All right, thank you.
Do we have any requests to speak this morning?
No, we don't, Mayor.
Okay. We do have a scheduled executive session, so I'd like to call a special council meeting to order for the purposes of entering into executive, and I have a motion and second to that effect. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, I've got at least four, so we're set to go.
Scheduling a meeting.
Did
I miss that?
But, no, it wasn't done.
I'm sorry.
I was ready to go. We do have a meeting on Monday, the 22nd, and Councilman Rawls, and Councilman Jones will be hosting the first town hall meeting on Tuesday, January 23rd. Those are two important dates we want to make sure we share with the council. So anyway, council meeting on Monday and first town hall meeting on the 23rd at the Mason Convention Center.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
We're now adjourned. We have a special council meeting, and we're into executive session. Thank you.